it's that time again, you guys.
Yeah.
Wisdom in Golf, Golf WRX.
Golf's Perfect Imperfections.
Yes, Sav.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and watching.
Yeah, we got, we're doing something different with the headphones, you know, not tethered to that and being able to put it on video.
You just broke the headphone jack, so that's why. That's the real reason.
I prefer my story better. Thanks for throwing me under the bus. So meanwhile, how are you liking those new
FSO1s?
FSO1s.
Yes.
Which is like a mix between the OGs, the originals.
By True Linkswear.
By True Linkswear, of course, Sav. And where have you been? And the TLs, right?
Yeah.
So I can't believe how comfortable these things are and how steady they are. So they got a very similar sole to the originals.
Yeah.
They only have a 6 millimeter drop from back to front. I thought it was from front to back, but actually I was corrected on that by Jason. And you still want a little bit, but as close to zero as possible.
Yeah.
And the grip on these things are unbelievable, but mostly the comfort. It's like super slippers, but the foot is really held in nicely.
Yeah, because the drop happens once you have your foot in there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a natural.
Depending on how much you weigh.
How much you weigh, right?
And exactly. So that's when we talked at the show.
Yeah.
Because of the padding inside the shoe, once your foot is in there,
yeah.
Because the weight goes through the heel and the ankle,
that's it. Yeah.
It sinks the heel in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with that little adjustment, your feet actually get to 0-0 once they're in the shoe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for correcting me on that one.
I just left a little detail. Yeah,
right?
That's it. The detail was just missing there. Yeah, I remember that the talk was with them.
And we can't wait to get the new clothing. That the lineup that they have this year, it's very much reminiscent of a Lululemon,
mm-hmm.
but like for the color schemes and the color palette, so it's very neutral colors, but the quality of the material I couldn't believe. I mean, it had the perfect thickness and the perfect drop, and you know it's not going to wrinkle up on you. You know, it's like the perfect material.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, colors that you would never get sick of.
Yeah.
And yeah.
The whole color palette works together, so you can make so many different outfits out of the same stuff.
Yeah, that's
right. Which is really cool.
It's like if you were going to get, stuck on a deserted island, you know, the color palettes you would want to have would be those. Those are the ones that you could see yourself wearing every day and not getting mm-hmm. sick of.
Yeah.
Like not the two, that's very loud stuff.
Yeah. Well, some people don't get sick of that stuff, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah. It's not for everybody. So, cool stuff coming up. You guys are heading out to Mesquite on Friday.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Every time I think about it, I have like this little like nervousness in my chest.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good about it there, Sav, because... You know, I had a nice walk with Nita over the weekend. We were walking Reese, and it was finally above freezing for us.
Yeah.
And so we went out and had an enjoyable day walking around the golf course. There's some beautiful trails. And I was just, you know, this is when I contemplate, and I'm thinking, okay, one of the things that I find in the industry is that golfers tend to jump from flower to flower when things don't work as, you know, fast enough. Mm. Everyone is so impatient. Everybody wants it now, right? Mm-hmm. And so the ones that have persevered with Wisdom in Golf for what we're calling multi-year basis, they're the ones that really get to glean the results out of it. They get to a point where they actually start to evolve in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I had a student this morning who came to see me since day one here at the club. And he took regular weekly lessons during the winter for the first, I think it was the second and third winter. And he just comes to rent the simulators off of us now. He stripes it. And he always finds his swing. Right. He says, Sean, he said, like, I found the pocket. And I'm going, it's not that I don't love you. It's just that I don't need you to be over me anymore because I can. I actually have this acquired skill. And this is like the aha moment, right, that I want for all of you. It's like, when was the last time I said boo about your swing, Sav?
Mm-hmm. Not for a while.
About you, Moo?
Not long. Just say hello. Like, and,
yeah. Right? Saying hello. How are you? Yeah. How you hitting it? Oh, pretty good. And then I watch it and I'm going, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. So we spent maybe the equivalent of 45 minutes, like 3 15-minute lessons over the year.
Right.
This year, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in the first couple of years, it was like, hey, we regularly got together every week and yeah. we made sure that you weren't, you know, flying off in on the wrong tangent and, you know, getting stuck with different things. Mm-hmm. And we just stayed on course and we stayed on course and we had a little hammer tap and we keep going. And now it's like you guys are taking it to the next level, just like Jean this morning. Mm-hmm. Like he's taking it to the next level. He's thinking, yeah, maybe I'm going to go for that new paradigm driver. You know, I'm going to fit from the driver. I fit him for a driver last year. He's got a rogue driver that he's smoking 280.
Right.
And this guy's 65 years old, right?
Right.
He's in good shape. And so he's enjoying his retirement right now, playing the golf of his life. Can you imagine? The golf of your life at retirement.
Yeah.
That's amazing, yeah.
Eh?
Yeah,
it's like, great. Okay.
It's a nice treat.
We're good for the next 35, 40 years. And so, you know, this is something that Jean would be able to pass on to his son and his grandson or granddaughter, right? So I am now very confident that you guys will be able to pass this on to whomever, your new clients.
Yeah, a lot of people are signing up for the speed session. Then.
Your female students on your new YouTube channel. Mm. My grandson or granddaughter, right? Mm-hmm. So now we have this skill acquired that's going to be passed on. So it's like if I was to learn how to lumberjack tomorrow, like I never really had to do that. I've done some axe work, but I've never really downed a tree. Like I've practiced on some logs and stuff like that. But for me to go out and do that on a daily basis for the next month, like I could really pass on that skill very easily to anybody. And that's what this is all about. So where people lose it is, well, you know, that didn't work. Let's say, you know, somebody stumbles upon our stuff on YouTube and they go, wow, I really love this. You know, it makes a lot of sense. And then they try, and then all of a sudden they top a shot because they weren't focused. Mm-hmm. And then they go, oh, my God. You know, what Sean was saying, I'm going to leave that on the back burner for now, and I'm going to focus on making sure I don't top it anymore.
Well, that's the problem with golf in general is people are expecting perfect results all the time, and that doesn't really exist in golf, especially, you know, you've heard stories about the greats and you know, they're not necessarily fully satisfied with every shot that they hit out on the golf course. It's all about the good misses, right? Like, that's what people don't see when they watch TV. I mean, on TV, they're selling a product, right? So they're going to show all the perfect, amazing shots, and they're rarely going to show
the guy who's having a bad round.
Yeah. The guy who's having a bad round, or the guy who had a miss hit, or whatever the case is, right? So people have this false impression that golf is this sport that you can achieve perfection in, and that's not really the case.
So well said, Sav, because, I mean, you look at Kurt Kitayama.
Yeah. Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Snap hooks it out of bounds on 9. Triple bogeys the hole. But my hat's off to you, man. It's like he talked to his caddy, which is now Bryson's old caddy, Tim, right?
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I'm still feeling fine.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not rattled.
I'm not rattled.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Right? and he came out on top, and he hit the clutch shot on 17 that he had to hit. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, if you look at what Kurt's doing, you watch him. There's some highlights of him hitting the second shot on 18 with that 8-iron, and I took it on video. I videotaped it on my phone. And you watch his downswing is so on target. He actually tilts a little more with the head on the downswing. So you notice he kind of reroutes the club in the downswing. Mm-hmm. He takes the club back.
Yeah.
The way most instructors are teaching, you know, a certain way. But then in the downswing, it's a very sharp departure from that backswing plane. Mm-hmm. And now he's coming more from the inside. Mm-hmm. He's got this beautiful vertical backswing, by the way, where his arms are completely free. And now he's got that kinetic chain engaging in the downswing. And he just ripped right through that rough and got the ball to land on the left side of the green and follow the slope.
Yeah.
And that last putt was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was so nice.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
And wow. To go back to the point of, you know, people are seeking perfection when that's not necessarily what they should be seeking, or they get easily derailed because they're not performing one day. There is a picture that was posted about Kurt's journey to the PGA Tour and his win. And he literally went through probably 10 different tours
before
getting to the PGA Tour and winning an event.
Yep.
So you don't really see that stuff as a viewer until the magic moment happens for these guys, right? Yes. And then it's only until then that you realize the absolute journey that the guy's been on.
Story of perseverance.
Exactly. So, yeah. You just have to be, everyone's got to be a little easier on themselves.
So bottom line, be perseverant with what we show you,
mm-hmm.
right.
and things will happen.
Here, right? I have it right here.
I'm I've gone to my next level with the driver in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just had my first workout yesterday with the Catalyst.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, in a month from now, I think Sav's going to have to work a little extra hard.
I'm not worried. So I have the picture here. So it says Kurt's pass with PGA Tour victory, Chico High School, UNLV, Canadian Tour, Web.com Tour, Asian Development Tour, Japan Tour, PGA Tour of China, China Tour, Korean Tour, European Tour Q School.
Wow.
Australasian? Yes. Tour, yep. Sunshine Tour, DP World Tour, Corn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour.
And his his first wins were on the DP World Tour.
Yeah.
Which is the European Tour. And Sunshine Tour is South African Tour. So he's been around the whole world. And he's American.
He's dangerous now. When you think about all that experience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like
exactly.
nothing that can faze him anymore because he's experienced a situation.
Very much like Ben Hogan.
Right.
Ben Hogan toiled on the tour for 11 years before he started his breakthroughs.
Right.
And then after that, he wasn't stoppable.
Right.
He was, you know, he was unstoppable. And then it took a bus to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came back from that major accident, he entered 7 events and he would win 6.
Wow.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty.
The 1967 Masters was his last Masters. He was 53 years old. He three-putted the last hole to miss the playoff by 1.
Oh.
Damn. Crazy.
Yeah.
And I you see the footage called In Pursuit of Perfection. His swing was videoed by an amateur videographer. And because it was Ben Hogan's last Masters.
Yeah.
And so an amateur photographer got there and he says, "Mr. Hogan, since this is your last Masters, you know, would it be okay to videotape for posterity?"
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Step inside the ropes." And you're not going to argue with Ben Hogan,
mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Yeah.
When Hogan says you can step inside the ropes,
you
can step inside the ropes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they had this beautiful footage of Hogan's swing, and it is spectacular. It really is. So once you get into that, and that's it, all boils back down to that the research that they show, and it was really neat you were talking about UNLV. Mm. Well, that's where Gabrielle Wolf is.
Oh, yeah.
And Gabrielle Wolf is the pioneer of motor skill learning acquisition. How do we acquire motor skill? And, you know, it started off with her windsurfing on Lake Mead in Vegas. So she went and she said, I'm going to take some windsurfing lessons. And she gets out there and the instructor's telling her, you got to, you know, do this and do that and do your, stick your elbows to your side and your butt and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then she's going, I can't move. I'm not getting anywhere, you know, and she's being blown into the middle of the lake and she gets into, you know.
Survival mode?
Survival mode. And she just watches the other person windsurfing. Mm-hmm. She says, okay, I'm just going to point my board that way. And whatever, so I'm just pointing it that way. Mm-hmm. And then she was doing it.
Right. So she's a kinesthetic learner. Watching someone else do it kind of gives her the feedback.
It gave her the feedback, and then she says, okay, I'm going to point it that way. And then all of a sudden, everything was fine. Mm-hmm. And then she realized that all this body part positioning stuff was really not the way that we should be acquiring our skills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and then off she went, and she's been doing it now for 25 plus years.
Yeah.
And we had her come to the Richmond Hill Golf Club to, you know, show our members how that worked out. And Rebecca Luthwaite, one of her partners that does the same that is within the same realm. Mm-hmm. They both have their PhDs in their respective fields, mm-hmm. and this is what they love doing. So and so body part positioning is not part of their equation, and they've got the scientific proof behind them. And so that this thing about, hey, I'm going to throw a dart in that bullseye and I'm going to do that an hour a day for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And in 2 weeks, you're 15% better. But most people would go, man, I've missed the bullseye too many times. I quit. I'm going to try and something else. Maybe it's my elbow. Maybe it's my wrist. And then they get impatient. Mm-hmm. And so you end up chasing your tail off to a galaxy far, far away. And then you end up going, well, I don't know what's up or down anymore. That's why we see a lot of people say, you know, the person that really made a lot of sense was Sean. I'm going to go back to Sean. And then they realize, okay, I'm here to stay now. And then they lock in.
Yeah.
And then they really see the benefit.
Yeah, they collect their data and then, you know, they see from the research, like, this is where actually, naturally, where humans can operate. And to go back to Kurt's swing, he looks powerful and looks free in the swing as well.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really see the momentum in that golf swing.
Yeah.
So he just points it that way and lets it go, right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And so when he's got a little bit of pressure, you can see that he's adding a little too much strain, and he ends up hooking it. So on 18, he actually, you know, started his 3-wood over the right rough and drew it all the way over to the left rough.
Yeah.
And so it's a good thing he used the 3-wood because you put a little more backspin on that, keep it in play.
Right.
And so he doesn't do a number like he did on number 9.
Right.
And then managed his second shot beautifully.
He's a strong guy.
He's very strong. You can see he's no stranger to the gym, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that was a fun. I mean, you could see everybody was struggling on that golf course. Like, I've played that course.
Yeah.
It's a tough golf course.
Even Rom, there was an interview clip of Rom, and he was like, it's freaking hard.
Right?
Because at one point, like, the wind was howling and this and that, and it was just like.
When the conditions change, it definitely throws you for a loop, yeah.
Well, it was also when you shoot 65 on the first day, and it's like, here comes number one again, and then all the expectations are piled on you.
Mm. True. Yeah, this doesn't feel right. It's like that's too much on somebody, for sure.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Eli, and we're going through a couple of shots that he was doing on the golf course, and he says, I'm really having trouble with my wedges all of a sudden. I said, really? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So you were striping your wedges in the last session we had, right? So, because I see him twice a week on the Double Eagle program. And so I said, all right, describe the shot. He says, well, I had 90 yards. I said, where's the wind coming from? So I got a crosswind. I said, okay, you got 90 yards with a crosswind. That's going to move a lot, A. Mm-hmm. And because of the crosswind, did you feel like, well, what wedge were you hitting? He says, I was using my 56. I said, okay, did you feel like you had to nut that 56 to get there? He says, yeah, you know what? It felt like, yeah, I had to be aggressive with it. Mm-hmm. I said, you want to be aggressive with a scoring club?
Yeah.
I said, okay, I just put a 52 degree in your hands. How do you feel now? You know, I feel a lot better. Right?
Yeah.
So then we went along with that, and we started hitting shots on the range with that. I said, give me a 90-yard target. And he says, that bunker right there is 90 yards. I said, okay, take your 52. We got a crosswind. You know, that the range has a right-to-left crosswind. I said, let me see you hit some, you know, 52-degree wedges over there. And it just, like, it fixed everything right there on the spot.
Right.
Just because of the option.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you're standing over the shot and you're thinking, I want to make sure I get there. Mm-hmm. You just made it like three times harder on yourself.
Yeah. I did a Instagram post about that not too long ago where, you know, I was saying when it comes to club selection on the course, you can't necessarily go based off of your quote unquote stock yardages because I mean, yeah. Okay. Your stock yardages gives you a rough idea of distance, right? It's a more so of a guideline rather than like a must absolute. Be this.
That's right.
It's more than an absolute.
It's not an absolute. Yeah.
Exactly. And because there's so many factors that play into your decision, like wind conditions, is it cold? Is it hot? Elevation, this, that, right? So there's so many things. And I think a lot of people, when they zone in on the yardage, they don't consider the other factors.
Yeah.
That's until right. It's too late, almost.
That's right. Until the awareness is, oh.
Yeah.
Why was it short? And yeah. both of them, they were thin and short. Mm-hmm.
But that was even a lesson that I had to learn the hard way in terms of seeing the yardage and being like, oh, well, that's my 8-iron or, oh, that's my 6-iron, mm-hmm. instead of, you know.
What's actually going on in the situation?
Yeah, what's actually going on? Do I feel tight over the ball? Do I feel like I have enough? Does it feel like I'm straining? So, and you only really get that feedback when you go out and practice that on the course, because that's why I like practicing on the course so much more, because you get that real life feedback.
Yes.
In a way.
Yep.
When you're on the range, it's fine and dandy to practice and stuff like that, but you don't really get that gameplay simulation.
So you would be the Ben Crenshaw versus the Tom Kite.
Yeah.
Right?
Because even in soccer, when we would have practices, my favorite types of drills and the drills that I kind of excelled in were the ones that simulated games. Mm. Those were the ones that I could fully, like, get fully invested in and kind of give my all rather than, like, the generic passing or practicing the defending and just things like that. Yeah. So,
well, that's it. I remember where they would concentrate a lot of players in a small area of the field and put small goals in there. And you really had to, use your reflexes to get around the players and do quick passes and things like that.
Yeah. Like my favorite thing to do was, essentially, you had the full-size nets, but on a super condensed field. And so it was one of those situations where you're playing it like a real-life soccer game, but on a super condensed field with big nets, so you could literally shoot from anywhere.
Right.
And that was my favorite thing to do. So I was like, let's get stuck sniper. In. Like, this is fun. That was, like, my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that because you're a darn sniper.
Yeah. So I think if anybody is having difficulty applying their range sessions to the golf course, I would maybe encourage you to do more low-key practice sessions on the course.
What I asked him, I said, would you hit the wedge, like those two wedges that you missed where you were straining, would you actually hit your wedges like that on the driving range? And right away says, no, I wouldn't do it like that. I'd be on cruise control. Mm-mm. And as you watch the guys on tour, they're on cruise control when they're with their scoring clubs. They're never overly aggressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get the occasional aggressive player that looks like he's really going through it. Mm-hmm. But most of the time it's like, you know, I got this. It's on cruise. And that's why they make it look easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because that's what you want. You want it to feel easy.
Yeah. You're in flow state in that manner. You're starting to, make the swing work for itself.
That's right. Yeah. So the choices that you make with your options on your golf shots will be a very strong determining factor as to how easy it's going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Really cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you look at the stock shots, you look at stock yardages that they put down for certain players, and on Golf WRX, you're going, I thought the guy hit the ball a lot longer than that, right? Because the PGA Tour really
sets the tone of
they're selling a product,
yeah,
and so they love talking about, wow, that 7-iron was 210 yards, you know, and you're thinking, oh, I feel so. You know,
inadequate.
Yeah. Exactly, is the term I was looking for. So, when you look at their stock yardages, and the stock yardage of that player is 175 for a 7-iron, that's the cruise control distance.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, if there's a little bit more adrenaline, or a little wind behind, or a little elevation, or a little heat, then it's 185. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the conditions will really determine and the lie and. How the ball's sitting and all that stuff will determine how that ball's going to come out.
Yeah, it's always different. It's never the same.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like, you look at Kitayama, and on screen, it said that his second shot was...
220?
210, something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
and he had 8-iron in his hands.
Yeah.
But then the commentator says, well, he has 158 to the front of the green.
Yeah, and the greens are massive, too.
Here we go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he had a good lie.
Yeah, he's coming out of the rough.
So he's coming out of rough with an 8-iron and a good lie. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be flying at about 170, right?
Yeah.
Which is basically, because he's pretty long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it took, obviously, the greens. I mean, you everybody saw how fast the greens were and how they weren't holding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he knew it was going to release, and it released beautifully, you know, and started to take the natural curvature of that green toward the flag. And it's a really nicely designed hole when you look at it that way. So there's some strategy for you, and it really begins with the right choice.
Yep, and the right mindset too, right? Just lowering expectations a little bit. I mean, I've seen TikToks and reels about people kind of not making fun of, but trying to put into perspective how you can't really expect perfection out of yourself when you're not doing this for a living. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's a hobby.
It's a hobby, right? Mm-hmm. You can't expect full perfection when it's something that's just a hobby and you're not doing it for a living. Like, when you look at the guys on the PGA Tour, this is their livelihood. They do this every day, all day, all year. They've gone through the reps, right? So, and it's so interesting to me when people like average golfers get so upset on course when they mess up, but then you have to realize, like, okay, well, they're not putting in 40 hours a week to practice.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like a guy who's got a garage and he's got some tools at home and he likes to work on his car when his car breaks down or things like that. And you compare that to a Formula One mechanic.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's like, you just gotta, I feel like you just need to have a little bit more fun and like lightheartedness about your golf game, and you'd be enjoying it so much more.
Yeah. There you go. That's great advice there from Sav.
Lower the expectations a little bit, take the pressure off of yourself, and just enjoy every moment for what it is, good or bad. It's kind of like how Scottie Scheffler has his perspective around his game. He goes, I know that I've done everything to prepare to the best of my abilities. Yep. And that looks different to everybody, right?
Yep.
And then you just go and see what happens.
It's in God's hands.
Yeah, you just kind of...
Oh, did you see... Like, Scottie was playing... I got to go back and look at the recording. Mm-hmm. Scottie's playing with... what's the British guy's name?
English?
Hatton?
Yes.
Or Terrell Hatton.
Terrell Hatton. There we go. So you could see Terrell, you know, on hole number 18. I saw, you know, where he's finishing.
Yeah.
And he hits a putt, and every, you know, people were saying, well, everybody has been misreading this one. It's not turning in and it's staying straight. Mm-hmm. And it stayed straight, and it missed the hole by, you know, 6 inches.
Yeah.
And he's just, of course, going to be livid about that.
Yeah.
You know, kicking himself, knocking himself over with his putter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, storms off to the other side of the green and, you know, ponders out into the open water and is looking at it and he's cussing some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here's Scottie Scheffler doing his thing.
Yeah.
You know, and Hatton's out there mm-hmm. going ballistic.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, you couldn't have any more contrast because Scheffler's going to. Scheffler could put it in the hole from the fairway, mm-hmm. give his club back to his caddy and go and move on and go pick up the ball out of the hole. And mm-hmm. you'd think there's no difference between that and him sticking it in a greenside bunker and or getting short and then missing bogey putt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's wow. The contrast between
players.
The different players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that when it comes to you know, the reactions of a Hatton mm-hmm. or, you know, John Rahm's been criticized a lot for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen
right?
sometimes but, where he gets pretty worked up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like Sam Snead used to talk about playing in a state called cool mad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not fly off the handle, you know, mm-hmm. lose it mad. Because
yeah.
if you lose it, then, you know, you're letting the situation, you know, force you into submission.
Yeah.
Instead of going, oh yeah, wait a second, I got news for you. I'm going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you want to be in that state of cool mad, not in the state of
fly off the handle.
Fly
and
off
can't
the handle
get back on the train.
Exactly.
So
you just jumped off the train and,
yeah.
and gave it the old bird.
yeah.
It's the frustrating thing about golf. You can't will yourself into a good shot.
Right.
You gotta. Focus in it a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like football, it's a different beast, but in football, you can will yourself into a better situation or change mm-hmm. the momentum.
Yeah.
But within golf, it's a different mental aspect.
Yeah, that's the same thing I noticed in soccer. It's like you get frustrated, okay, you go tackle a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But in golf, you can't do that.
No.
There's so many different aspects because
– yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you start letting the situation take over, I mean, it's like you could compare it to snipers, mm-hmm. you know, when they're practicing and they got to breathe and they got to get into the shot.
Yeah.
If they're nervous and, you know, they're on edge,
yeah.
they're just not going to have the accuracy they're looking for.
Yeah.
So, like, if you look in that discipline in the Olympics where they cross-country skiing, I think
triathlons?
No, something.
It's one where they're cross-country skiing and then they have a shooting section?
And and then they have to shoot at 5 targets. So they're going all out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, while they're preparing and they're on the ground, they're lying down, they're trying to get their breath.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're trying to calm down. And then they hit those shots.
Yeah.
And they get back on. And if you miss a shot, you know, you're penalized some serious seconds that you can't recover from. So you really, I mean, it is one heck of a discipline.
Yeah, it's a hard way to train for sure.
And I would say that would be, you know, to look at how they do that, there would be some really good lessons to learn from that for golf.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so too.
Because
yeah.
you'll get riled up mm-hmm. after a bad shot and your heart starts pumping and your breathing starts to go.
Yeah.
How do you get the heart rate down? Breathe. You got to learn how to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then so that's why a lot of these top athletes now, especially golfers, they really have to have proper breathing techniques.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that for F1 racers too. Like they'll do like skydiving, something extreme in terms of bringing their stress levels high and then trying to work within that stress level to calm the mind and not panic so that when the moment's big enough on, you know, on the track, they're not so overwhelmed with the situation. They know how to manage themselves.
That's why Schumacher likes the skydive.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
so yeah. Like all like there's different strategies to stress yourself out to. So like going on at the top of the building, you know, like walking on a skyscraper, you know, just that's a very stressful situation. But then you have to obviously have a trainer to kind of tell you mm-hmm. this is how you handle the situation to kind of maintain your cool.
Yeah.
It's like the cold plunges too.
Cold plunges too, right?
Ice baths.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the most uncomfortable things that you can put your body through.
Are you doing those now? Are you taking cold showers or things like that?
I haven't gotten on the cold shower thing yet. I would rather do an ice bath okay. and just like fully submerge for a couple of minutes than do the cold shower. I don't know, something about the, it just like, it sprays too much and then it's just an inconsistent like cold feeling.
Gives you goosebumps over goosebumps.
Yeah. So, but you know, we used to do ice baths at university after practices, and you really have to learn how to control your breathing. And that also helps with like anxiety, stress, all that kind of stuff.
Which leads me to Catalyst.
Right.
Like I did my first workout yesterday with that thing.
Yeah.
And you know, Sav and you know, we have a camera here that they're able to watch from the house. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, make sure everything's fine around here, because mm-hmm. we like to make sure everything's good. And what was it? Dorky came to mind?
That was mom's words, not mine. But it was so interesting to see, like, the full stress response that your body had to this new simulation you being forced into, like, having to breathe.
I have never experienced anything like that in my life, mm-hmm. right. but I can tell you, I've never had so much fun doing workout exercises.
Yeah.
Like I did the boxing workout.
Yeah.
So you guys will see that in the next video. And I'll edit all the dorky parts out. I'll try to anyways. Yeah. I'll keep a couple in there for you. And, so it was such a shock to the system, really. And I mean, you'd hear the instructor on the iPad say, okay, breathe. I'm going, how? How do you breathe like this, you know?
Yeah.
And it was really wicked.
Yeah. It definitely trains your breathing.
Because it was 4 seconds on and 4 seconds off.
Yeah.
4 seconds on and 4 seconds off. And it was like, you really had to be on the ball to brace for it. Mm-hmm. And you had to breathe in when it was off mm-hmm. and breathe out when it was on. Just dissipate that. And I was like through the whole thing.
Yeah, because you want to ensure that your muscles are getting proper oxygen and you're not fatiguing too early within the workouts.
Yeah, that's why
I love that they included that in the setting up of the suit. They train you quickly. It's like, hey, make sure your breathing is under control. Just so, because it's like the...
we don't want you hyperventilating and passing out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
don't pass out.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was cool to see your... because I was filming it, and it was cool to see how you were taking on the information and how your body was responding to everything. It's like everything was communicating, like the lats, the quads. Like, oh, I can add more hertz to, you know, to the lower back or to the core just to, you know, increase the muscle activation, which is the fun part.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about this because it'll allow you to push yourself to another level where in your head, sometimes when you're just training, your mind can be like, oh, we can take it easy today, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Where this is 100% engagement all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And at one point, I had to put a pause, and I really appreciate you being there because it was very comforting to know that you were there, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, having Moo around is very comforting. And so at one point I had to push pause mm-hmm. because during the workout, you know, because it built up to a certain level.
That's right.
I'm going, did I adjust this thing properly? Because this is really getting intense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know whether I could continue at that intensity.
Right, because you haven't pushed your muscles
I'd never experienced that before.
Yeah.
And I had never gotten pushed that far before. So I paused it and I said, no, you know what? Mm-hmm. Let's keep going.
Right, right.
And put it back on. And I, you know, I braced myself mentally for the rest of that workout. And I'm mm-hmm. so happy I did.
That's good.
And now I'm thinking, well, I could have taken more.
Right. That's
you know?
So now your learning's like your thresholds keeps building each time.
Yeah, and then
obviously on the app, you can dial it up to more muscle engagement depending on the strength or the power.
It's really, really well done, man. It's like this is one of the best things I find, both on the mental and physical standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the best things we've ever involved ourselves into.
Right? Yeah, I agree too. I'm excited about the evolution of the partnership, but also the evolution of this company, because it's definitely going to answer a lot of ailments that some people may experience, like sarcopenia, recovery from an injury or surgery. So
while I was in there, I could see the therapeutic purpose
for sure
of, because I woke up this morning. I slept really well, by the way.
Good.
Like 7 hours straight. Mm-hmm. Like I had to pee like a racehorse when I got up. But it was really, really neat because, I mean, I had a really good night's sleep.
I imagine the endorphins you got from the workout were really good. The long-lasting, that's what's great about it. It's awesome.
And usually, like, the last, because I've really been enjoying my driver recently, and I've been indulging. Mm-hmm. And the last three mornings, my QL has been seizing as I was getting out of bed, just seizing up. And so you get out and you go, and then you shake it off and you move on with your day. Mm-hmm. And last time I went to physio, it was on the verge where it was seizing up several times over the course of the day, and I had to do something about it. Mm-hmm. It didn't seize up this morning.
Mm. That's good.
I was expecting it to.
Right.
Like I was bracing, and it never happened.
So the muscle was properly engaged.
Yeah.
And now it's so tired, it's relaxed. The fascia is released.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw an immediate difference.
Yeah,
because even when we were at university, every time we would go to physio, you would have those electrical pads. They would hook you up with the electrical pads depending on what your injury was.
Yeah, they have either ultrasounds or electrical pads or the this little gun that, I forget the device, but it has it sends off pulses if you have a muscle that you need to recover. But yeah, we would take electrodes to recover from any injury from playing or from practice. And usually the response on your body was pretty fast, 3 days and you're back to normal again for the most part.
Yeah.
But now we have a suit that you can just use it whenever you need
to. You guys have to check out that suit on our video. Yeah. Just the last video that just posted this week, you guys are going to see the unboxing of it. And then the following video is me adjusting the suit.
Yeah.
And the video after that will be the workout, right?
So. Yeah.
And we'll do a few postings on the Instagram too, so we're like super jacked, and that's an understatement as far as the possibilities for this technology.
Yeah, and we're excited to have the CEO of the company come on the show.
Yes, can't wait.
Yeah.
Bjorn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a blast. So you are getting your suit today.
Yeah.
It's on the way. And Sav.
Wednesday. I don't know.
Wednesday, it says it should be arriving Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
So hopefully
tomorrow.
Yeah. Hopefully you get at least one workout before you head out to Mesquite. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely I'm heading out to the Dominican Republic on Friday. My Christmas present from my dearest is Journey and Toto on Thursday night.
Oh, that's why we're so busy today on the highway. There must have been arriving into the video center. Okay, that's cool.
Oh, is that? That's what was going on?
Yeah, there's traffic on the way after the gym this morning. Yeah. We're wondering what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on the way to the Videotron. So
okay.
I'm sure they just popped in.
So Toto opens for Journey. The two of my, if you're my age, obviously those are two bands that you've listened to your whole entire life. And then 3 a.m. after the concert, Nita's driving me to the airport, and I grab my flight at 6 a.m., heading down to see the boys in Dominican Republic for 10 days. That'll be really cool. So I'm bringing my suit down, and we're going to keep up the work throughout that. And then so in a month, we'll be able to see, the before and after. So right now, that was my last drive before I switched the hole. My club speed was 110, so I'm between 110 and 113. 113 when I'm really humming, but it's basically my warm-ups have been 107, you know, and then it builds up, and then it cruises at 110, and I'll fire a few out there at 113 before I peter out. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's, I peter out because my QL starts to nag. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm at right now. And my, look at the, you know, ball speed is between 157 and 162.
Right.
So in a month from now, it'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be.
After some serious poundage.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that the backspins on the new heads are really low.
Incredible, huh?
Yeah.
Was that 1800 right there?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm hitting fade. Like, I'm hitting a really nice fade there. My my side spin on that was 170 to the right, so that was a little open on the face, and it's still well below 2,000 RPM mm-hmm. with an open face.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
It is wild.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So, so what else is going on?
I think we'll cap it here so that we can have more for the next episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hope you guys enjoyed that. Moo says it's time to cap the show. Did you hear that? Did you hear Moo whispering? So, Sav, cue the music. Enjoy the rest of your week, everyone. See you next time. All the best.
Thanks for watching.